Good morning.
Hi, this is Audra. I'm the only one on the call.
Okay, well, then we'll have a special call between the two of us.
So, Bridget is running frantic, and Kelly is in a meeting. We are converting all of our retirement plans to John Hancock just to help us from a cost of labor point of view, and it also is going to be adding about $100,000 in recurring growth each year. So it is a win-win-win.
Hey, that sounds terrific. That sounds terrific. That you seem to be quite busy. So first of all, why don't you just, other than what you've just told me, how are you doing?
Good, good. I think Kelly's in a better place. She seems to be real motivated, too. And that's good. Our goal, just so you know, right now where we are, because I enter in what our monthly gross in is and then just kind of do projections based on after I've got a quarter under our belt. And so right now, just if everything were to stay exactly the same, and pretty much everything that we've done is recurring revenue. We haven't dropped any insurance tickets. So our recurring revenue right now is $750,000.
Okay.
With the John Hancock migration, it'll pop up to $850,000. And our goal really from there is to get up to what we feel like anything under $950,000, then that makes us feel a little nervous just from the point of view of if there's a market. We like our recurring revenue to be, we want it to be up to where if the market were to drop 20%, and that would be if the full market dropped fully, because most of our clients are invested in more of a balanced type of portfolio,
right.
We figure 20% would be what we would bear. So $950,000 would give us enough wiggle room to where we wouldn't have to dip into savings at all. And it's sustainable. So
right.
He is like super, super motivated to get to that number. And I think it's doing well. You know, we're getting referrals.
Good.
I think this year we'll end up putting on, outside of the Hancock migration, I'm real conservative. This is where Kelly and I are different. It's so funny. Every time we go and do projections, he gets frustrated with me and I get frustrated with him because I'm super conservative.
Okay.
But I think 7 million is a good conservative estimate.
Okay.
Of just new business that is not anything to do with the migration. And it may be even more if this MEP thing gets off the ground. We've had to switch providers on that as well.
Okay.
That's part of the migration. They were just, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
You get... There's some relationships that are just snake bitten from the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our relationship with the MEP and the provider that we initially put them in, it was just snake bitten. You know, it just, all of these little things went wrong and just it didn't work. So, you know, it was best just to cut bait because we were never going to get any referrals. Plus, the client really did not communicate to us or to anybody that she needed alerts to be done in a particular way whenever a new participant signed on if the payroll needed to make any changes, she needed that to be alerted to her, not where she was having to go and pull reports and dig through them,
okay.
Which is totally understandable. I mean, totally yep. understandable because of the volume that she is doing, and honestly, and that's something that the other provider just wasn't going to do. And she, you know, she'd run a report, they were going to highlight the new ones, but that still to her was just like, look, you know, I can't do that. I can't be happy with this, and that's it. So, okay. But the good news is we're switching providers, and I think hopefully that ought to get that going, and that maybe $7 million might be. I guess that's a long way of saying that $7 million very easily could turn into $14 million. Very easily, once if that thing could just get going, you know.
So at this point, you know, obviously, you know, one of the tenets of Supernova is trying to deliver this concierge service, and now that you've switched to John Hancock, by design, you're trying to offer a concierge service to your clients.
Yes.
Okay. Well, look, that all sounds terrific. I'm glad that you're making progress on that front and the conversion. What do you think are some of the key challenges that you face? And then we'll spend some time just reviewing some of the business plan items.
So, and Kelly's not on this call, so you and I can speak frankly.
Okay.
You know, the biggest challenge that we faced in the past, from my point of view, was just kind of getting him back to where he could effectively prospect. You know, because Kelly used to prospect so well, and then he just went through this period where he just couldn't or wouldn't do it. And you know, yes, there were a lot of additional things that needed to be done.
Right.
But there's always a lot of things that needed to be done. You know,
sure.
And he wouldn't just earmark an hour 3 days
right.
out of the week. You know, he wouldn't do it. And I don't know, you know, I think part of it is, you know, he just was in a bad place, you know? And it's an interesting business, you know, as a wife and someone that works with them, but I feel like both with like athletes, portfolio managers, rainmakers, all of them, there's an attitude function to what they
that
do.
Out. Yeah.
And that has to get right or nothing
right.
else will be right. You know?
That's right.
And so I'm seeing him get his feet underneath him.
Okay.
In a way that I haven't seen, honestly, in a couple of years.
Okay.
Honestly, I feel like us moving to RBC was really, really, really challenging for
yeah.
him. We're in a different camp in that I don't see it as a mistake,
right.
per se, because I feel like all challenges make you stronger, you know? And,
right.
and it was the best decision that we made with the information that we had at the time, and you know, there's
right.
just no point in going back and woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
And I think,
yeah.
you know, with everything, you can just use it to your, you can use it to your strengths if you choose to. And so, I mean, the way I'm looking at it is it's just made us a lot stronger. And,
oh, good.
You know.
Good. Well, you know, you both have certainly kind of used me as a sounding board and talked out, you know, a lot of those things. I appreciate the confidence that you've shown in me now. You know, as we go forward, you know, I always like to feel that I'm adding value. Number one, as a listener. Number two, providing advice. And number three, you know, kind of picking through the myriad of things that you all do and to try to make sure that you're focused on the things that are going to really benefit your business long term. So,
right.
you know, and so to keep us on point, you know, you all have created and developed what I perceive to be just an outstanding business plan. And so, you know, now it's really about execution. Okay.
Yeah. Completely.
And so you've got great initiatives, and so let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that we are trying to do, and I'm gonna. I think we left off kind of going, it's beginning to go through 7.0, which was the action plan. And we said, well, one of the key initiatives was to launch retirement plan program for legacy employer services and PEO reps.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling about how that's going at this point?
I think it's going well. You know, but this, Kelly got kind of frustrated, but it, I don't know, just my feeling was that they were beta testing us.
Okay.
And they were.
Okay.
You know, and it made sense from their point of view. If I were them, I would have done the exact same thing. You know, you need to beta test something before you go and you give it some volume. And
right.
We definitely needed to switch the provider, and they're going to continue to beta test this new provider
okay.
with the, you know, little three or four plans that that we have with them. And then
okay.
from there, it's just a matter of working referrals. And, you know, we've got to make sure their top salespeople are taken care of. And honestly, with the last provider, one of the people that really took a hit was their top salesperson who had all of the big relationships. And then their second top salesperson was his son. So we've got to get through this migration. We are, Hancock is amazing and not dropping the ball in these sorts of things. We've used them like crazy. There's a reason why we went through Voya from a
right.
MEP pricing point of view. Voya
right.
can go and give everybody the exact same price regardless of the size. You know, they
okay.
can be under a MEP umbrella, but each retirement plan has its own individual contract, and
right.
and they'll all have the same price. Hancock, conversely, has the bandwidth from a computer point of view to give you to have a MEP, to accommodate a MEP, but all they're going to do is give you a discount. So everybody's getting, couldn't even tell you, I know it's a double-digit discount in pricing, but it's still, you know, the larger plans are going to have a better price than
mm-hmm.
the smaller plans. But the MEP is happy because they're like, we're going to get a better level of service, and it's definitely better than what they could go out and get on the open market, and that's all we care about.
Right.
So,
thought about this? You know, you've got these key relationships within these participant plans, like the two
mm-hmm.
sales individuals that you spoke about. Have you
right.
thought about treating them as if they were COIs? They get
oh, yeah,
a hold
no, we are.
Oh, you
yeah.
are? Oh. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. No, we definitely are. We're treating, you know, we personally are giving them the kid glove treatment. We are helping them problem solve and offering the financial planning. And we're also kind of treating it like a, where we're just doing, you know, a COI check-in, you know, where we drip on
great.
Them, visit with them, you know, not once a month is a little much for them. So we
right.
backed it off to once every other month.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Perfect. That's great. So what you're doing now is you are, you know, you're creatively using the concepts to your benefit. And that's what you should be doing. So that's wonderful. Okay. So the next initiative you had in here was building corporate cash management partnership between the Business Bank of Texas and yourselves. So how's that initiative going?
That is, I would not say that that's going really well. So,
okay.
The Business Bank of Texas went through its own little coup. The guy that that headed it up, and anyway, it's a long story, but I guess suffice it to say, instead of it being, you know, it's not them, it's us. It's really not us, it's them. They've gone through a major CEO change, and and it's been kind of weird. And so we're really trying to feel out the new CEO. Honestly, I feel like we're going to have a better deal with the new CEO than we would have had with the old CEO. We've got good board relationships. And I'm not going to say that that's a no-go, but I don't know how it's going to go. You know, I really don't know how it's going to go. And honestly, I don't know how incentivized I've got a real difficult feel for the bank and their incentives to go. That was honestly an initiative that I was always on the fence with, because I feel like they would be giving up dollars, you know?
Right.
And I don't know how incentivized they are to do that.
Yeah, they've got to look at, you know, strategically how they want to deploy their resources, okay?
Right.
You know, and it's kind of like one of those things. They're going to have to break out the yellow pad, draw a line down the center, and say, look, this is what we would be giving up in revenue, but if we deployed our resources and assets in this area, we can get the kind of growth that we want. So they need to understand, you know, where they get the biggest bang for their buck. Using you? Yeah. So, okay.
They have so many other fish to fry right now, though. You know, I mean, they just need to get loans in the door. Those are their most profitable items. This is just my feel. Their to-do lists include, of one, getting loans through the door. The old CEO that essentially was really just kind of kicked to the curb. And rightfully so, as it turns out. He just paid no heed to any of the anti-money laundering that the regulators were going and asking them to put into place. I mean, literally, the new CEO comes in and she's like, what's up with this? Because he never did anything about the old transgressions, never brought it up to the board, never did anything. And then the little bit that we tried doing, working with them from a co-marketing point of view, they really, really, really were not at all made any sort of effort to follow any sort of compliance, you know? That was a mess. So my guess is they're cleaning house and trying to get loans in the door. Once they get that done, then maybe the cash management thing will be a thing. But, you know, we'll see.
All right. Good. All right. The other one was building the CPA network, focusing exclusively on cash management, M&A advisory services, using CARE, Waterview Advisors, Alliant Insurance, and Business Bank of Texas.
I don't feel like that's not, I mean, we haven't hit that one at all. A little bit. A little bit, realistically speaking. But again, you know what, Curtis? I mean, there's only so many hours in a day, and I feel like what we're doing is we're hitting the ones that we can hit right now, that we need to hit right now.
Right.
And we're doing those well, as opposed to just, you know, shotgun scattering.
Well, maybe this one is taken off the table and maybe pushed forward, maybe as a 2020 initiative.
Yeah. I mean, Kelly's not going to say that. And maybe we have, like, just, you know, two or three CPA relationships that it's like, okay, you know, we already have these. It's good. Let's just keep these going. But maybe attack them from a more strategic point of view.
Right.
And then, you know, and then, and it, again, beta test how we're doing that.
Right.
You know, kind of get our feet underneath us and then go from there, you know?
Okay. So that probably, you know, one of the things is it's a broad-based initiative and maybe just moving that out to 2020 or just focusing in on your CPA network in terms of the expertise that you have in terms of pension capabilities. And so that one probably needs to be rewritten.
Yeah, I agree. Kelly may disagree.
Yeah. And just focus on CPA / pension. So I just made a footnote on that one. And, you know, when you look at these initiatives, it's kind of like you start to understand what your real bandwidth is, and maybe it's more appropriate to focus on three, possibly four, that just really drive home your strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it's that 80-20 rule, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if we've been struggling for just even doing any prospecting, and that's been a struggle, then, you know, to me, let's do two or three, but do them well, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, given the resources that you have.
Right,
okay.
Because our resources have not broadened. I mean, I'm pretty sure Kelly told you in one of the previous meetings about Bridget and,
how many people she's working with,
And it's getting worse, you know.
Yeah.
It's getting pulled away more and more. The things that, you know, luckily I'm here to help, and so, I mean, I'm just kind of taking a page off of some of the other CAs in the office, and I'm just working a little extra without reporting it, you know.
Okay. All right. Let's the last one here. We've got a couple, but we said develop a list of Texas retirement plans with corrective distributions, money forced back to participants by the IRS, and prospect these plans. Build a database.
We've got that database. I'm 99% sure.
Okay.
And so he's going to go straight into working that plan.
Okay.
Right after the other retirement plan, you know, doing the migration. And honestly, I think that to me is brilliant because he'll already have his pitch down from converting the other retirement plans, and that'll be a very easy hop, you know.
Okay, so that one is still in play, and I'll put an asterisk by that. Okay, good. So the next one was develop a list of frozen defined benefit plans and prospect those plans.
Yeah, that he may have the list. That's
okay.
As far as I know.
Okay.
But honestly, that I feel like is... That's more difficult.
Right. You know, one of the things I think, to back up for a moment, is you have to think about what the goals and the targets are. Okay. So, if the goal is a plan a month, which is a big goal, I don't know if it's 6 plans or 12 plans. Having an average of $5 million, then that has to probably be the focus. How do we get
yeah.
one plan in per month? And look, it's pretty aggressive. If the average plan is $5 million, that means you're bringing in $60 million in net new assets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is figure out what's reasonable so that Kelly spends his precious face time trying to drive home the new plan. You all are getting them enrolled, but he's driving new plan capabilities.
Right.
So what do you think your average plan size is at this point?
I'd say our average plan size is probably about 2 to 3 million.
2 to 3 million, okay. So the idea then is if your average plan size was 5 million, is the same amount of work for a 5 million plan the equivalent to a $2 to $3 million plan?
Absolutely.
Then you have to think thoughtfully about your resources, where you spend your time, where you can maximize COIs and referrals, and decide, well, where do we get the biggest bang for our buck? Should we be solely focused in the $5 to $10 million space, or the $5 to $7 million space? That needs to be kind of rethought, I think.
No, I agree. I mean, because they're definitely, you know, if you jump from the 2.5, let's say our average is 2.5, since I said some were two to three,
right.
And it may be bigger than that. 3 may be more realistic. I'm going to take a conservative number, so that's why I said 2 to 3. But
okay.
Regardless, you know, if we were to try to jump from the two to three space to the, you know, the
5 to 10.
5 to 10, I think, is a legitimate jump.
Okay.
10 to 20, though, the landscape changes, the decision making process changes, the core competencies that you have as a salesperson change.
Right.
You know, it's just different. It's very different.
Right.
I don't think it's very different if we jump up to the 5 to 10. And Kelly may be prospecting in the 5 to 10 space.
Okay.
That might be his plan, is just to prospect. In fact, I am 99.9% sure that is his plan. It's just, you know, look, we really don't want to take on a bunch of new plans that are in this, you know, two to five space. We would like to get up to the 5 to 10 space. Now, with the MEP, inherently, it's going to be in the less than 5 space.
Okay.
But it's easy for us from a cost of labor point of view to manage. You know, it's one annual review.
Right.
We don't sell the plan as getting, you know, actual meetings, that sort of thing. It's a pared down service model. Unless they're in the 5 to 10 space, and then we'll give them more service. And the people at the MAP are, you know, they fully understand that. They're business people. You know, they were on board with that. So
yeah,
we're fine if it's just coming in through the door, and all we have to do is manage the conversion, and then Hancock really, you know, and do one annual review for it, and it just basically is a prospecting list for us. If it looks like there are additional assets to be had with it, well, then we'll treat it as a prospect, you know?
And, you know, that's back to the supernova concept of stair step to the stars, where, you know, periodically you're redefining your target markets, okay? So know, you're raising, you know, your minimums that you go after. That's going to create the most substantial change in your productivity, where you're using the same resources but with bigger relationships, larger relationships.
Right.
Okay. So keep that as kind of a footnote to that initiative. Okay. What I want to do is I'll go through these last two, and then the next time we speak, we'll get back to the team-based goals. We'll go into goal setting and team-based goals as part of your business plan. So the last two initiatives, acquire sufficient knowledge to serve the nonprofit market. Have you begun to think about that?
Well, I feel like we have sufficient knowledge to serve the nonprofit market.
Okay.
And honestly, sincerely, with my two volunteer positions right now, I am the treasurer for both of these organizations. I feel that in and of itself is giving me a breadth of bandwidth to service these nonprofit markets.
Right. So you're out interface with the board, you're learning about, you know, cash flow management, you're learning about, you know, whether or not they're going to establish an endowment, what their investment philosophies are, spend rates, all that sort of thing.
Right. That's exactly right. And as well, I sat and am sitting on the investment committee for a third board. That I was on, honestly, for 6 years and just stepped down, but I'm keeping the investment committee portion of it. Because, honestly, they didn't do what I wanted them to do last year.
Primarily initiative,
So I feel like we've got that under control. We're joining the nonprofit alliance here. That it'll be interesting to see how much fruit that bears. I feel personally, just from a marketing point of view, I hate it when we start fragmenting our target market. And I feel like that's what we're doing with that one.
Profits, you're moving away from your area of expertise?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We are in a way, and then I guess we aren't in a way, because that definitely is my passion. That's where I spend my free time.
I'll be the first to tell you, you all have created a core competency in that whole pension area, which is a huge, huge area. You know, the more that I think about this initiative, this is what'll eventually have to happen. If you continue to build competency in this nonprofit arena and go after endowments, start reviewing policy statements, the 990s, that sort of thing, then you're probably gonna eventually need to add another team member. You're not necessarily ready yet, but you know, you're gonna have to add another kind of partner team member.
No, I agree. We just, between the two of us, we don't have
the bandwidth.
We really don't.
Yeah. So this is, that's going to be, I'm going to mark strategic decision around that. That doesn't mean that you can't, you know, kind of prepare, but don't dilute too much of your bandwidth as you think about the nonprofit, because you know, you've got a core competency here that is going to drive home, you know, larger numbers of revenue. Although, you know, I have a client in New Jersey that is dealing with the New Jersey Tennis Association, and that's about a $60 million endowment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's like you land one and boom, you know, it just elevates, you know, what you're doing. It magnifies it. So
it does, but I don't know, Curtis, I hate elephant hunting. I really do. One of the things that I love about our book is,
yeah,
you know, even if we were to lose one of our top, you know, one of our 20% that gives us 80% of our revenue, the world
right.
would not stop spinning for us.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Well, again, it's stair step to the stars, so you got to, you know, you got to start somewhere, and you don't have to elephant hunt right now with that one. So we're going to just put that one as kind of a strategic area that you're going to continue to think about cultivating. But don't lose sight of where your resources and your core competency lie.
Right. Okay, and so, Curtis, now it's just you and me on the phone. I really
yeah.
want to get your feedback about our group and what, you know, I mean, where are we? What can we do better? What are your concerns for us?
Okay.
All of that.
All right. Okay. So let's brainstorm this out for a little bit. You know, number one, I think about resources and resource allocation, which is a big concern of mine. You don't have your own sales or administrative assistant. You know, it's a shared resource. That concerns me. It concerns me that, you know, you are so smart and so bright that, you know, the way that you all are structured, you can't provide full involvement, you know, with the team. Kelly is he's your asset gatherer. He's the
yeah.
guy that gets out in front and needs more face time. And
yeah.
so I get concerned that, that, you know, you have to manage to what your resources are and also think how you can command, you know, more resources so that Kelly can get FaceTime. That's going to be a function
yeah.
of, you know, revenue generation.
Right.
Okay, so if you had a plan and you shared it with, well, your boss and says, this is where we are, this is where we're trying to go, and this is what we have been training on in order to get to the next level, what can you do for us to help us?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a very, very, and what will that do, you know, to for the office? What will it do? I think, in other words, what I'm saying, it's probably easier to get an extra 15 or 20% productivity lift out of you all than it is out of some of the other folks.
Yeah.
And you've got to sell management on that. Now,
that's not going to happen, though, Curtis.
Okay. So we're being realistic.
Yeah, you know,
and it's not going to
yeah.
happen. So that's
right.
That's my biggest concern, which means then that how do you how do you continue to evolve? It's still with fewer relationships that get larger. That's how you're going to create the increase in productivity. Then.
Right.
You got to definitely move to the $5 to $10 million level, and because otherwise the amount of resource spend, you know, doesn't give you necessarily that lift.
I will tell you though, just doing this Hancock migration where we now are out of the business
right.
of investment education meetings with the participants.
Sure.
That is huge. That's
yeah.
huge. That's taking our cost of labor in, you know, that 30-ish percent of the business.
Right.
And cutting it in half. It
okay.
is absolutely cut it in half.
Because, you know, it all always boils down to time. I mean, you know, time, face time, administrative time, you know, time to meet with clients. I mean, it all boils down to time. So I would say I'm not alarmed. I would just say that's going to be kind of an ongoing concern of mine. Now, in terms of competency, in terms of approach, in terms of you all dotting the I's, crossing the T's, in terms of your focus, outstanding. I mean, you know, it's a great, great team with you and Kelly and Bridget, and you're maximizing what you're doing with the resources that you have. So really, looking at ways to get Kelly more face time is the most critical issue, and raising your target a little bit, I think, is the key.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Okay.
You know, I think we can always come up with some creative and innovative marketing ideas. But I think your reputation in terms of your expertise is what you should be marketing out there. Yeah,
right.
We work with selected number of plans, we manage X amount of dollars in assets, and we are focused on this particular segment of the pension market. That's your value proposition, and you've got a great value proposition already. So,
okay.
Does that help to kind of answer your?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we kind of started with the question, what's keeping us from breaking out? And I think because of all of the discussions, you're clearly focused on those things. And sometimes
yeah.
it takes time, right?
Right, right. It just does.
Yeah. But no, I'm very, very impressed with the direction. You have a strategy. You have a focus. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of FA teams I work with that don't have that. They don't have roadmaps, written business plans. They don't have strategies. They don't know what they're trying to do, so they have no idea what their challenges are.
Right.
And you all are, you know, moving at a really, really good pace. You've had to absorb a lot of information in a short period of time.
I think so. I don't know. I feel like for the first time, I really feel like, okay, we're getting our feet underneath us and we're starting to get some traction.
Yeah. You know, and
good.
For me, you know, I'm always going to be pointing out these little things, right? Because it's the little
right.
things that end up, you know, enabling you to provide that better service, that edge of performance, so on and so forth. So, you know, but truly, you know, I want to be very complimentary about what I see taking place with you, and it's really good. And you know, you and Kelly, you're like the yin and the yang, you know, and you got to have both.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we really are. We're very different. But it's good. I think it works, you know.
Yeah, and look, if a team has everybody thinking the same thing and there's never any contentious discussion, that's a non-functional team. That's a dysfunctional team.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're doing really well. Well, look, I've taken up you know, the amount of time that, you know, you all like to spend. And so, you know, keep up the good work, and we'll go through the next stages of the business plan on our next call.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All righty. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.